Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my week 23 recap. Just another week to go, guys, but I'll give you this recap here. In it, we'll talk about the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2025. I'll tell you about all the inductees. Also, guys, let's talk about some firings that took place in the NBA, some coaching firings. We'll talk about that. Also, Ja Morant, he's at it again, guys. So we'll talk about that also. And then Zion, he's done for the year. We'll talk a little bit about that also. And some other things as well. Later, Deladon retiring. Whole lot of stuff. So let's get ready to roll. And we'll be starting shortly. So just stay tuned. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And, guys, we are coming down the home stretch, guys. A lot of seeding to be done. Teams are still vying for places. The West is really wild out there. So, a lot happening in the NBA, but a lot of news to get to as well. So, without any further delay, let's get right into it. We'll start as we always do, guys, your players of the week. And then we'll start with Kawhi Leonard, man. He's been playing well. Kawhi Leonard for the LA Clippers. He had a fantastic week last week. A week in which his team went 4-0. He played all four games too, guys. And he averaged 24 and a half points, nearly six rebounds, two steals and a half. I mean, almost two steals and 2.5 assists. He shot it great from the field, guys. You know, Kawhi, he's a guy who's very efficient. From three, he was okay. 7 for 21. And then from the free throw line, out of 14 attempts, he missed just two. Like I said, his team went 4-0. They went on the road to beat Orlando. And then they beat the New Orleans Pelicans at home. And then they had two home games against Dallas and beat them in both. So Clippers right now, they're starting to rock and roll right now, guys. They're climbing up the ladder. So a lot of good things are happening for the LA Clippers right now. And at the head of it is Kawhi Leonard. So big props to him. And then in the East, Giannis Antetokounmpo. His team went 4-0. He only played in three of those games. So Giannis for the week, 36 points a game he averaged, almost 14 assists, guys. Wow. Over 12 rebounds, and then nearly two steals. You know how he is, efficient from the field, nearly 64% from the field. He only took six three-point attempts, and he made three, so that's good. And then from the free throw line, out of 37 attempts, he missed six, so you'll take that from him. And then, like I said, when he played, they went 3-0. They beat Phoenix, then they went on the road to play Philly, and they went in overtime with the Miami Heat in Miami and got the win. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's carrying a heavy load, guys. With no Dame Lillard there, so he has to be the guy. I get it. They're getting fine play from guys like Ryan Rollins, the young player there. Also, Kevin Porter Jr. He's helping out, but if they're to go the distance, guys, they're going to need a healthy Dame Lillard. So we'll see what happens there. But those are your players for the week. All right, guys, let's get into the top story. For me, it's the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2025. Guys, you know I love talking about this sort of stuff. So it was announced during the Final Four weekend who your inductees will be. And this is how it shook out, guys. You had for the North American Committee, Carmelo Anthony. Now, Carmelo, you know he has a fine resume, guys. He's Brooklyn born, but he moved from Brooklyn at a young age. He moved to the Baltimore, Maryland area, but he actually finished his high school basketball career in Virginia, playing at Oak Hill Academy. From there, guys, he goes to Syracuse and has that magical freshman year where he was named Freshman of the Year, of course. He was an All-American. All the accolades you can shower upon the first-year player, he got them. And to top it off, he got himself a national championship. And oh, by the way, he was the most outstanding player in those Final Fours and championship games. So Melo starting off his career with a bang. Then he enters the NBA in that famous 2023 draft. He was picked third overall, guys, going to the Denver Nuggets. A 10-time All-Star, an All-Rookie on the All-Rookie team. He didn't win Rookie of the Year, although you could have made an argument, but it went to LeBron James. So he was a 6-time All-NBA player, 2 times on the second team, and then 4 times on the third team. He's a scoring champ. He did that in 2013. Also, guys, he's the 9th player to reach 28,000 career points. In fact, when he finished his career, he was 8th on the scoring list, guys. He made it onto the 75th anniversary team for the NBA. He was a 3-time gold medalist, guys, including the 2008 Redeem team. I'll talk about them in a few. He also got Olympic bronze medal, which was the year prior to the Redeem team, the Olympic prior to 2004. He also got a gold medal in the American Cup, and he got bronze in the World Championship Cup. So Carmelo Anthony, well-decorated, well-deserved, a Hall of Famer. Now you get the likes of guys like Rob Parker, who says if you took away Carmelo's college career and what he did internationally, is he a NBA Hall of Famer? Ridiculous question. And because on the Odd Couple, him and Kelvin was talking about Adam Silver should have a separate NBA Basketball Hall of Fame, which is ridiculous. They're not doing that, so forget about it. But Carmelo Anthony, even without those accolades, he ends up 8th on the scoring list. How can you not keep him off there? They say, oh, he didn't go far in the playoffs and this and that. I give you 2 examples. Tracy McGrady, who got in first ballot. And if you're to say Carmelo doesn't deserve to be there, then you would have to make a case for a guy like George Gervin, who had fine regular seasons. You know, he was a scoring machine, but his teams just couldn't get over the hump, especially against the Lakers. So what are we even talking about here? So Carmelo's a Hall of Famer. He's first ballot. So why are we even having this discussion? But you know, guys like Rob Parker got to shoot a pin into, you know, the NBA as a whole. He got to shoot a pin in that. So he comes up with these nonsensical arguments. But Carmelo Anthony, Hall of Famer, on the first ballot, by the way. Next up, Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, an Atlanta native. He was a terror at Southwest, all Christian Academy guys. Not all. Southwest Atlanta Christian Academy. And guys, he was a McDonald's All-American, as was Carmelo Anthony. He was Mr. Georgia Basketball. Guys, he forewent going to college, and he entered the NBA. He went into 2004 draft, number one pick overall, an eight-time All-Star. He was on the all-rookie team. He lost out that year to Emeka Okafor. Eight times All-NBA. Five times first team, guys. Five times first team, once second team, and two times third team. So that makes eight. He led the league in rebounding five times, guys. He led the league in blocks twice. Currently now, he is 10th in total rebounds, guys. He has one championship that he won. And he also won Defensive Player of the Year. He won that, I want to say, three times he won that. Yes, he won it three times. Defensive Player of the Year, guys. That's the kind of resume that Dwight Howard has. He has the one championship he won with the Lakers 2020. And then, guys, he also won Olympic gold as well. Actually, he was part of that redeem team 2008. So he has a gold medal. He also has a bronze medal in the FIBA World Championships in 2006. And then in 2007, he won gold in the FIBA Americas Championship. Also, guys, he went overseas in 2022 to play in Taiwan. He played there 2 years, and then in 2004, he would play in Dubai, and then he'd go back to Taiwan. So, Dwight Howard, he didn't make the 75th anniversary team list, surprisingly enough. You can make a strong argument. You could take a couple of guys off there and put him on. But nonetheless, Dwight Howard, your first ballot Hall of Famer. So there you go. Next on the list, the 2008 Redeem Team. I was just talking about Melo and Dwight Howard being on that team. That's the gold medal team, guys, that came off the heels of the 2004 disappointment when the U.S. got the bronze medal. That was a team that was coached by Larry Brown, and you had young guys on there like a LeBron James, like a D-Wade, like a Carmelo Anthony. Now they made the Redeem Team, and they righted the ship. Went 8-0, guys. Their average winning margin was nearly 28 points. So they were beating teams by at least 28 points, guys. on that team, you had your co-captains, Kobe, the late great Kobe Bryant, Jason Kidd, and Dwayne Wade was on that squad. Also on that team, like I said, Melo and Dwight Howard, LeBron James as well, Chris Paul, Chris Bosh, Carlos Boozer, Deron Williams, Michael Redd, and Tayshaun Prince were all on the squad, guys. And it was coached by Mike Krzyzewski of Duke, of course. So the team as a whole makes it into the hall, guys. So kudos there. And then Billy Donovan, guys. He's the current coach of the Chicago Bulls, but he also coached in college, guys, 21 years. He spent the first two with Marshall University before going to the University of Florida. There's where he really made his name, guys. Over 500 wins, in fact, 502 wins against 206 losses, giving him a win percentage of almost 71%, guys. That's fantastic. 7 times conference champion, 4 times SEC tournament champion. His teams made the NCAA tournament 14 times. 4 times his teams got into the Final Four, and he won the 2 championships in 2006 and 2007. Guys, he was named Southern Conference Coach of the Year. 3 times he was named SEC Coach of the Year. He is in the College Basketball Hall of Fame as of 2016. Then he would go on to the NBA, guys, where he has coached 10 years, 5 of those years with OKC, Oklahoma City Thunder, and the other 5 with the Chicago Bulls. He has 435 wins against 362 losses, giving them win percentage somewhere in between 54.5%. And guys, he's 65 wins away from having 500 wins in the NBA, thus making him one of few coaches with 500 wins in college and 500 wins in the NBA. That's rarefied air, guys. And, oh, by the way, he was also named the NBCA Coach of the Year in 2019-20 season. That's why he was in the NBA. So there you go with that. So Billy Donovan, Long Island native, coming out of Rockville Center and a graduate of Providence University, he makes the Hall of Fame, guys. And then Danny Crawford. He was a 32-year vet in the NBA refereeing games. He's done over 2,000 regular season games, 300 playoff games, and 30 finals, guys. That's the kind of longevity that Danny Crawford has had. And Danny Crawford makes it into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Now for the women, and what many are calling the best women's class going into the Hall of Fame ever. Starting off with Sue Bird, Long Island native, coming out of Syosset. That's out there in way out there in Long Island, guys, in Suffolk County. And Sue Bird, she would go on to play at Syosset High School, and then she would transfer to Christ the King High School. Same college, same High School as Shamequa Holdscore. She would go on to the University of Connecticut for her collegiate career. And guys, she did much damage there. Guys, she was College Player of the Year in 2002. Her college team won the NCAA championship twice in 2000 and 2002. Also, guys, she too was a All-American, a WBCA All-American in 1999. And then, guys, she would go on to the WNBA where she had a 19-year playing career, 21 overall, but two of those seasons she had a knee injury back in 2013 and then in 2019. Many call her the greatest point guard of all time as far as women go. 13-time All-Star, 8 times All-NBA, 5 times she was first team, 3 times second team. She led the league in assists 3 times, 3 times Sportsmanship Award. She got that. She's a 4-time champion, guys. Oh, by the way, she was drafted number 1 overall in 2002. She's on the 10th anniversary, 15th anniversary, 20th anniversary, and 25th anniversary WNBA teams. She won a Commissioner's Cup in 2021. And guys, overseas, 5 times Russian League champion, 5 times Euro League champion. And for Team USA, she won 5 Olympic gold medals. And also 5 times a World Cup winner. 4 of those gold, 1 bronze. And only 1 other player has more gold medals than Sue Bird, and that's Diana Taurasi with her 6 that she just recently got. So that is Sue Bird's career. Sylvia Fowles. Coming out of Dade County, guys, Miami, Florida's own. She would go on to play at Miami Edison High School. And then she would transfer to Gulliver Prep School. She was a McDonald's All-American, guys, in 2004. Also a WBCA All-American in 2004 also. She would go on to play at LSU, playing under coaches Pokey Chapman and then later Van Chancellor. Those LSU teams made it to the Final Four 4 times, guys. She would go on to the 2008 WNBA draft, drafted 2nd overall, right behind 1st overall pick, Candace Parker. She's a 15-year vet, guys. 7 of those years with the Chicago Sky, and then the last 8 with the Minnesota Lynx. An 8-time All-Star, guys. 8 times All-NBA. 3 times first team. 5 times second team. A 4-time Defensive Player of the Year. 11 times All-Defense. 8 times first team. 3 times second team. She led the league in rebounds 3 times and blocks 2x. She is a league MVP, guys, in 2017 and won 2 championships, guys. Overseas, 3 times a Turkish Cup champ, 2x Euro League champ, 2x Europe Super Cup champ. 2x a WBCA champion as well. She's won 4 Olympic gold medals, guys, and 1 gold medal in the world championship. So she is basically the equivalent of a Dwight Howard for the NBA. That's what Sylvia Fowles have brought to the WNBA. So she's your second candidate for the women. And then third, someone I've highlighted, guys, Maya Moore. I did a whole episode on Maya Moore, but I'll just give you her accolades right quick. Out of Jefferson City, Missouri, and she ends up, her and her family moving to Georgia, where she would play at Collins Hill High School, and that's in Sewanee, Georgia. She was a McDonald's All-American, guys. At her high school, guys, the overall record, 125-3, guys. She's just a winner everywhere she goes. She goes to the University of UConn, playing for the likes of Gino Auriemma, 2-time champion, and twice the most outstanding player in those tournaments, 2009 and 2010. She's 2-time college player of the year, freshman of the year. Also, she would go on to the WNBA 2011. She was the number 1 overall pick with the Minnesota Lynx. She would spend 8 years in the W, guys, and what a resume she put together. 6 times an all-star, guys. Oh, by the way, 3 of those times she won all-star MVP. Wow. 7 times all-NBA, 5 times first team, 2 times second team. She made the all-defensive team second team twice. She led the league in scoring in 2014, then in steals in 2018. She was a rookie of the year. She was also an MVP of the league in 2014. A 4-time champion, guys. And named to the 20th and 25th anniversary teams. Oh, by the way, overseas, 2 times European League champion. And also in another league, she won the championship there. FIBA World Cup champ, MVP. Guys, she just did it all. 2-time Olympic gold medalist. 2 times a world champion gold medalist. And just to add as good measure, World University Games gold medalist as well. Everywhere you turn, Maya Moore, all she knows how to do is win. So, thus making the 3rd woman in the women's committee list. So, thus making that the greatest women's class that has entered the Hall of Fame. As contributor, Mickey Arison. He's the Miami Heat owner, guys. He's been the owner since 1995. 3 times championships. 3 championships, in fact. 7 times Eastern Conference champs. Guys, a Hall of Famers that have come through that franchise. Of course, Mr. Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, Ray Allen, Chris Bosh, Tim Hardaway, Alonzo Mourning, Gary Payton, and then players that are currently playing now, LeBron James, Jimmy Butler, who just left there. He was trading at the trade deadline. And then currently they have Bam Adebayo. So Mickey Arison getting his just due as an owner. thus as a contributor going into the Hall. So that is your Hall of Fame class, guys. Your snubs, there's always snubs that's, you know, you kind of give a bit of a raised eyebrow about. Marcus Johnson, once again, doesn't make it. The small forward coming out of UCLA, guys, playing in Milwaukee and then in with the LA Clippers, guys. The quintessential small forward during those times, playing against the likes of a Dominique Wilkins, a Julius Erving, a Larry Bird, a Bernard King, all those guys coming up against them. So Marcus Johnson snubbed once again. He actually made it as a finalist, but didn't make it. Now, this is a name that I got to admit, I didn't come up with this. Someone I follow on Instagram, Nisha Butler, a former New York City basketball legend. She actually brought up his name, Sonny Vaccaro. He was a sports exec for Nike. In fact, he signed Michael Jordan to his first Nike deal. Also, he was exec with Adidas and then with Reebok. He's the founder of the ABCD camp for high school players, the standout players, of course. He's done that for 33 years, guys. He co-founded the first high school all-star game. And this was before McDonald's had their high school games. It was called the Dapper Dan Classic, Round Ball Classic, in fact. And he did that for 43 years. And also, guys, as an aside, he was part of the O'Bannon versus the NCAA lawsuit. That was the lawsuit about image and likeness, and a lawsuit that was actually won by O'Bannon in that group there about players getting paid for their likeness in video games. I think this started the ball rolling towards the NIL that you see today. So, Sonny Vaccaro, again, somebody who should be a contributor going into the Hall of Fame. So there you go in that regard. So thank you, Nisha Butler, for pointing this out. Jennifer Azee, she was a finalist but didn't make it, guys. A standout from Stanford. She won a national championship over there, guys. Also, she was part of that famous 1996 Olympic team, the great team that ended up the catalyst for the WNBA. Although when she was finished playing with the Olympic team, she went to the ABL, which was a rival league at the time. When that league went under, she eventually went to the WNBA. And then upon retirement, she became a college coach. So Jennifer Azee, snubbed, and someone who deserves Hall of Fame recognition. And then here's a name that she was on the initial list, but she didn't make the finalist list. Shamika Holzclaw. What are we doing, guys? I keep saying this. They just did a poll recently. She was one of the top five women college basketball players ever, guys. Playing at Tennessee for the late, great Pat Summitt. Three-time champion, guys. Two times most outstanding player in the Final Four. Two times College Player of the Year. Freshman of the Year. And just an awesome player. Also, she spent 11 years in the W. She was drafted by Washington. She played for the Washington Mystics, for the LA Sparks, for the Atlanta Dream, and then she would finish her career with the San Antonio Silver Stars. She was a six-time All-Star, three times All-NBA second team. She led the league in rebounding twice and scoring once, and she was the rookie of the year. So, guys, again, huge snub in my eyes. Shamika Holzkahl should be in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, full stop. Oh, by the way, she did get a gold medal as well, guys. So what are we even doing here? So with that said, all right, that's it for the Hall of Fame portion of this show. So let us continue, guys. Ja Morant, he was fined $75,000, guys, for making an inappropriate gesture on the court. And he did it twice, guys. And, guys, he was previously warned that he could, that what he was doing could be seen in a negative light. Now, as a reminder, guys, remember, Ja Morant was suspended not once, but twice concerning what? Guns, guys. Guns. Flashing a gun on IG, and then he would do it again. So, and then here's the thing, guys. He did it during on April 1st against the Golden State Warriors in a game that where Steph went absolutely nuclear, where he scored 52 points, dropping 12 threes in that game. Good gracious. So he did it in that game, and then he would go on to do it on April 3rd, and he actually hit the game-winning basket in that game at where he would do the thing again. So, you know, a lot of people are railing against him. I was one rooting for the kid, you know. I thought he would learn his lesson from all of this. I mean, it's not, is it real guns he's messing around with? No, but you kind of want to stay away from any reference towards guns, even if it's like with your finger. But he's not doing that, guys. So even with the warning, he still did it. And then he would go on social media and he said, oh, he's being targeted and this and that and all kind of stuff. And I'm like, somebody needs to get to him and say, look, I understand, you know, other guys are going to do it as well. And maybe they'll get like maybe a $25,000 fine. But you're going to get hit more because you have a history. Same thing I say with Draymond. Because you have a history, you're being watched more closer. Is it fair? One could say yes or no, but they're going to have eyes on you. That's just the way it is. So, and then all the turmoil that Memphis as a franchise is going through, I'll talk about that in a minute. You know, you got to be mindful of these things. So, I can't give you out on this one, kid. You got to be better with this stuff. So that's all I'm saying with that. So Ja get hit in the pockets, $75,000. Let us move on. CJ McCollum and Zion Williamson shut down for the season, guys, for the New Orleans Pelicans. I want to focus on Zion. Zion for the year. This is what he's done. 30 games, so he even give you half a season, averaging over 24.5 points per game, over 7 rebounds, and well over 5 assists. Shooting it from the field, fantastic, 56.7%, you take that. From the free throw line, 65.6%, you'll take that, you'll deal with that. But again, another injury-plagued season for Zion, which leaves you now what to do now. So, you know the draft lottery's coming up, guys. So where Cooper Flags ends up, who knows? So if he ends up in a place like New Orleans, does the franchise move on from Zion Williamson to make room for a Cooper Flag? Maybe. But the whole thing is, and I was talking about this with friend of the show, D, where do you send Zion Williamson? Right now, the market for him isn't all that great. So I actually proposed this, mentioned this to D. He was like, that's interesting. I just said, hey, both teams are getting rid of potential problems. Zion Williams straight up for Ja Morant. Maybe you have to play around with the numbers and add players and draft picks and that sort of thing, but a straight up Zion for Ja. Now, I'm sure people will say, but wait a second. You got Jaren Jackson over there, and you also have Zach Edey. I don't know. Maybe you send us Zach Edey over there to with Ja to New Orleans. And then once you get Ja in New Orleans, then you have CJ McCollum there. You have DeJounte Murray, although he's recovered from a knee injury. So maybe you shuffle one of those guys off somewhere. So, you know, it's two teams get rid of headaches for them. So I just put it out there, but I doubt if that happens. And mind you, they were both in the same draft. And the odd thing in all of this, out of those two plus R.J. Barrett, looks like R.J. Barrett has been the model pick between the three. So go figure. Although he's been traded to Toronto, but he's playing well over there. So, but there's that. So Zion shut down for the season, guys. Coaching news, guys. Taylor Jenkins, he's out as Memphis Grizzlies coach. He spent 6 years there, but he wasn't even given the luxury of finishing out the season, guys. So they're moving on. Their assistant coach, Tomas Isalo, he's going to take over for Jenkins. So maybe this will give them a shot in the arm. Who knows? We'll see. But I tell you this, Taylor Jenkins, I don't think will be on the sideline long. I think somebody will scoop him up in the offseason. He's not a bad coach. He's just had the impossible situation there with Ja Morant trying to keep that ship afloat. You know, he has a young, promising team there, but, you know, I don't know what more you can do in that regard. And the GM, Zach Kleiman, he takes sole responsibility for this, you know, for making this move. He says in the best interest of the franchise. We'll see if that's the case down the road. You can't make a judgment now, so there's that. And then, if you thought that was bad, I'll give you a worse one. Mike Malone, guys, for the Denver Nuggets, he's out, guys, with 4 games left in the season. So he gets fired. And not only him, also the GM, Calvin Booth. Both guys fired. There was a lot of room, you know, a lot being said about them bickering and going back and forth. You know, the GM telling them how to play his players, what players should play, what players don't, should not play, rather. And Mike Malone, he's old school. You know, he's come from a coaching family. His father, Brendan Malone, the late, great Brendan Malone. So you know, he's old school in his way of coaching. So, and then it was said that he was favoring the Joker and Jamal Murray more than the other players. So players were whining about that. Then also the GM wanted one of the player, you know, younger players to play more minutes than the Russell Westbrook. But Mike Malone is like, I'm trying to win games here. I can't be, you know, putting these guys in that are wet behind the ears. You know, I got to put the guy I know I can depend on. So it was a clash between the two. And then the front office said, you know what? Well, up above, ownership said, you know what? Both got to go. And to do it with four games left is unthinkable. So we'll see what happens, guys. You know, they're in a fight right now with three other teams, who have the same record. So we'll see what happens. But this is a crushing blow. And I'm just on the outside looking in, seeing how will the Joker respond to this. And is he happy with all of this? You know, I heard MacDawg Russo say, oh, they don't sign off on this unless they get the Joker's blessing. I'm like, really? I don't know if I say that. Because, as they were saying, Mike Malone favors Joker and Jamal Murray. So why would he sign off on that with a coach that favors him? That doesn't make sense to me. So there's that. And then David Adelman will be taking over. He's the assistant coach. He'll take over it in Mike Malone's place. So right now, again, you have the logjam there of teams that's vying, you know, to stay within the top six. You don't want to be a play-in team having to play those extra games. So can they right the ship? We'll see what happens, guys. But it's a very messy situation, very messy. So we'll see how it goes. All right, guys. And then the last thing I want to cover, and this is WNBA related, well, women's basketball related. Elena Deladon calls it quits, guys. She goes on social media. She makes a statement there that, you know, she's done all she can do. And those sort of things. I do want to try and read the statement if I can. Try and pull up the IG and read her statement if I could. The statement where she lets everyone know that she is done, guys. She has fought the good fight. She has done all the things. And here it is. Yes. Yes, I have it right here, guys. All right. One of my favorite children's books asks, how did it get so late so soon? I have asked myself that over and over again in the process of coming to the decision to retire from playing basketball. Being able to say that out loud was one of the hardest parts of my career. My body seemed to make this decision before my mind accepted it, but I now truly know this is the right thing for me at the right time. Words cannot adequately express how thankful I am to my family, all of my incredible teammates, friends, executives, sponsors, staff, and most importantly, the amazing fans that have accompanied me on this journey. This game has been my life, and I am grateful for the memories and how much it's given me. It feels good to close this chapter knowing I gave it my all, and I can't wait for what's next. That is from Elena Deladon, guys. And what a career she's had coming out of the University of Delaware, a fantastic player, guys. One of my favorite players to watch. I mean, she was, you know, the phrase that goes around lately, she was a bucket, guys. And that she was. Coming into the league in 2013. In fact, she was the second pick overall in that draft. Going above her was Brittany Griner. Also in that draft was Skylar Diggins-Smith. So you had the big three at the top of that draft there. And Elena Deladon, boy, did she deliver, guys. A two-time MVP, guys, of the league. Seven times an all-star. She won a world championship in 2019, a scoring champ as well, rookie of the year. Also, guys, she was five times all NBA, guys. She makes the 25th anniversary team as well, guys, that she does. And as far as the All-NBA, I want to see the breakdown here. And four times first team, once second team. That's how good she was, guys. Again, an absolute bucket. And she was drafted by the Chicago Sky. She played for the Chicago Sky for four seasons, and then she would go on to the Washington Mystics. She played six seasons there. She sat out the bubble season, 2020. But that year prior is when she won MVP, and her team won the championship. So, and guys, last season she sat out. She wanted to contemplate as far as her going on, continuing playing. You know, she was going through so much in her body as far as injuries goes. But she decides, you know what? I'm hanging it up, guys. So she moves on and she is done in that regard. So we salute Elena Deladon. In the next 5 years, we'll be talking about her entering the Hall of Fame. I think she's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think there's no doubt about it. What she was able to do in a short period of time. 10 seasons, guys. And she put up fantastic numbers, guys. So you definitely like that. So with that said, guys, that is it for this show. I thank you for listening as always. allthingsbasketballwithgd.com is the website. There you find my episodes, my shorts. Guys, I'm on all the platforms, YouTube, all the things. As far as donate, I keep it in the scroll, guys. And I also have a page on my website, my donate page. Three ways to do it on the website. PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify are the three ways. Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude is the Cash App. I'm on all the podcast platforms. You can find me there. Guys, social media, TikTok, while it's still running. IG, Blue Sky. And that's it for the moment. I mean, Facebook here and there, but you know how it goes. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. As always, coming down the pike, we'll finish the season out as far as the regular season goes. We'll talk about playoffs, all the stuff. WNBA draft coming up as well, so I'm going to have that coverage as well. So thank you for listening. As always, guys, we'll talk soon. Take care.